It's Thursday, August 29th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuously running tech podcast. This is show number 886, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our August GoDaddy special, customers get 32% off their new order. Now, this offer may be expiring here in just a few days, so you want to pay attention to this. You can get 32% off by using the promo code GO32OFF1 or get a .com for $2.49. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. You guys know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And man, it is like crazy late tonight to get started. It's just been it's been nuts, you know. I'm not kidding you, and talk about that here in just a few minutes. But everyone, welcome! And if you're a new listener, show thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out, of course. And we want to make sure that you take a chance on us and get over to the website and get subscribed to the show. You can do that real easy by going over to geeknewscentral.com, click on the subscribe button on either iTunes or grab an RSS feed and start pulling the data in, and we definitely want you to get involved and be at the show, and subscribe to our newsletter as well. All the stuff I'm going to talk about tonight is going to be over on our show notes page at gncshownotes.com/886. So we encourage you to get subscribed all across the board. I'm kind of bumming here tonight because, you know, I'm trying to get into our RC chat room, and it's basically flipping me the bird right now, not letting me in. I don't know if I didn't pay a bill or what, but it's definitely not letting me in there. So those of you that are on live that hung out until we got started tonight, I apologize for the chat room being down. It's just one of those things when you're running behind, you don't have time to do any tweaking, and that's exactly the case. Hey, but here's the deal. You can stay in contact with me really easy via Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, and you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. So definitely those are ways to reach the show here. We want you to do so. And of course, if you can't watch the show live, and of course, many of you should be in bed at this hour based on how late I'm getting started, you can watch the show on our tech podcast channel on the Roku. You can watch us on the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. So really, I'm all over the place. Chromecast as well. So definitely you can catch the show a multitude of places. And of course, we're part of the Tech Podcast Network over at techpodcast.com. Check out all the shows over there. We're up and live streaming on YouTube tonight. At least I hope we are. And it's just been, you know, as you guys know, the kids get done with cross country at supposed to be 6, and tonight it was like 6:40 before they finally made it to the car. Why a high school sports has to go to 6:40 in the evening is beyond me. It drives me absolutely insane. I don't know if that's the way it is in the rest of the country, but they never get done at 6. So I'm sitting here chomping the bit because I know the studio is sitting here in cold iron, and I've got my articles kind of already worked out, but I haven't got them sequenced and I haven't had time to go through and review everything. So, you know, I usually have about 2 hours to do show prep. And of course, you know, so we're on the way home and traffic actually was good. So we made it back in record time. You know, I get in here at 7:10 and I'm just looking at the watch and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get the show started on time. And that just adds to my stress level. And my son had a little situation at school today, so we had to take about 15 minutes and talk with him. So just click, 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 and here we are, 8:45 Hawaii time, and just getting started here. So I told my wife, I said, this is a Red Bull night. And I said, you do realize the later I get home, the tireder that I am and the more punchy I'm going to be and the more mistakes I'm going to make and the more pissed off the audience is going to be. And she's like, change the time. I'm like, I can't. It just doesn't work any other time. This is the time, you know. So we have got a friend that we found that has actually got a daughter that's running cross country too. So I think I'm going to go over there tomorrow and say, hey, why don't we work a deal here? You bring the kids home Monday, Thursday. I'll bring your two home Tuesday, Thursday. And then we'll flip board on a Friday if we need be. And we'll see if I can work that out. That way I can be here and then be doing show prep and start at my normal scheduled time. You know, having a battle rhythm after 886 shows is kind of one of those things where, you know, when you miss your time slot, you kind of get weirded out. But you guys don't care. Most of you don't, because you're listening later. You don't care when I record this thing. If it goes off at midnight, you don't care. But in my brain, it's like, you're late. Get started, knucklehead. So anyway, we're moving here. Hey, we want to thank our sponsors over at GoDaddy.com. I want to thank them for being a sponsor of the show. Let's see if I can bring up the right menu here. We want you to make sure you check out all our offers at geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy. And, you know, really, it's a piece of cake in order to find all my codes that we've got deals on. Now, all you got to do is go over to the website and scroll down the page. And about basically right below the fold, you're going to see a link or basically a banner there that says GoDaddy promo codes. Click on that, and that's going to take you into the promo code page. And we've got this $2.49 that they've had on for a couple of months. We don't know if we're going to lose. I was actually told today, or actually yesterday, and my rep basically emailed me and said, hey, we're going to do this, but you're not going to get the stuff until the 6th. And I'm looking at the calendar. I'm like, okay, the Sunday is the 1st. That means I'm not going to have no deals Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I said, hey, and I need something a little sooner than that. So they're going to try to, but I think they've got something special planned. I don't know what, because I've been told standby, new banners, a whole bunch of other stuff is coming. And so I'm excited. Maybe they're going to have a real cool deal here for us in the month of September. So can you believe it? The August is like gone. Where did it go? I mean, just this whole year is just like, boom. It's flying. It really is. But this $2.49 special, you can get that by using the promo code GEEK249. The 32% off on a new order at GoDaddy is Go32Off1. Or you can get a new.com with a free year of private registration by using the promo code FREE2. So that's a great code to definitely use. But definitely check out all my codes again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And one thing that's they've made it real easy for you, and something that's just going to streamline any of your buys. If you click on my $2.49 link or on the banner on the website, it's going to bring you over to buying a .com, and it's like one, two clicks, and you're at the checkout counter. There's no wasting time. It's very, very fast, and you don't have to worry. I get credit for it whenever you pick up that domain at that price, and so it's real slick. They make it easy. And we want to thank all of you that supported GoDaddy this month. I want to thank all of you that have become insiders as well. But definitely check out, again, all my GoDaddy specials at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All right, let's, I don't have much. You know, normally I have a little more time to kind of, I guess for a better word, contemplate what's been going on this week. It basically started, things got pretty crazy here. I think we had a pretty calm Monday, but Monday, as you guys remember, during the show, I said, I'm going to be up late because I got to get this ad invite out. And the vendor dropped this list on me on Monday and said, hey, we need to, you know, you need to rock and roll with this thing and need to be ready to go and have the list back to me on who's going to participate on Wednesday. And normally I like to be able to, you know, kind of prep the campaign, go through and, you know, gloss everything over. But I had to like punch this thing out in record time. And of course, then I immediately put on the, and we got a whole bunch of shows that were not, had never been on the ad buy with us before. So they have no clue that this is coming. And I'm like, hey, you got 24 hours to respond. And they probably, they're thinking this is some sort of scam and probably ignored it. So like, 9 hours later, we sent him another email, say, hey, this is number two. This is a real deal. We need you to respond quick. And really, I blast them three times within 24 hours. And that's just about the wrong way to do everything. And Wednesday morning, we had to have the list in. And those that responded are going to be on the buy September 1st. But, you know, a lot of the shows were like, hey, I didn't even check my email, dude, and I missed it. Or you were farther down in the stack. We need more time. And that's just kind of the way this thing rocks sometimes. And, you know, buyer comes in and says, we want to spend money. And I have no choice but to post haste, move in a hurry. And this one was a little bit faster than I wanted to. And I said, hey, Kevin, you got to give me another week, one more week to the left. I can't do this again in like 4 days and launch on the first. You know, so, and now I'm waiting on them to send, hopefully they send me the data back I'm expecting from them tomorrow. And then we'll email all the content creators, say, okay, here's your codes and all this stuff that they got to get to get rocking and rolling. But, anyway, that's just been a sign of the week. Some media buyers are looking at our system to, basically use for part of their campaigns, over at Raw Voice. And then I've had two or three calls with different vendors and with different podcast networks. And it's just been boom, 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 boom all week. I've got a couple of proposals I got to get knocked out. Luckily, they're pretty easy ones, so those will go quick. But it has been, I told, talking with Angelo today, I said, dude, I said, it's I'm at task saturation plus 20. And I definitely, at this point, we got to hire somebody. We have got to hire someone to come in and, if nothing else, I can route calls to that person and everything else. So we're going to have to make a decision very, very soon on this, or my brain's going to explode. And that's not a good thing. So maybe, you know, it comes, you know, the thing is, it's just, it's like in waves, man. It comes at you like, okay, it's feast or famine. You know, you're hammered for 2 weeks straight, and then it's like a week. Like, did we go to business? And then I get cranky, and that's not good when I'm cranky. So, but my son and I did get some chance to get a little exercise together this week. I'm trying to get that in, so that's important. And so anyway, no new media show this Saturday. We're off out over the 3-day weekend, so I hope everyone enjoys, and we'll be back with you the following week. But anyway, let's go ahead and get in the content. I got a lot of stuff to get through tonight with you, a lot of stuff in the stack. From a news standpoint, holy cow, you know, a bomb was dropped this afternoon, basically this morning by the Washington Post. And, it's a multi-page, story. They basically got the black budget from Snowden and, you know, I know probably a lot of people are cheering that this type of information is being released. But there comes a time when I think each and one, every one of us, and I'm going to address this primarily to the Americans that listen to this show, and those of you that are outside of the United States, you maybe don't care, but what really happens here is that and I didn't even, again, my sensibilities of not looking at the documents themselves that was revealed, you know, there is starting to be this is getting scary on what this guy is revealing. Because we all can speculate on what happens behind closed doors, but to have it kind of laid out, you know, the American public may say, well, we have this right to know, but at the same time, as this stuff is, as this basically this, everything is revealed and as stuff comes to light, do you understand what it's going to cost to try to go to the next level to, for a better word, react to the reactions. So, you know, here we are. We've had this, you know, this data is basically been firewalled behind people's trust and agreements that they have, that they're not going to talk about certain things. And, you know, this budget thing, you know, it is what it is. But how much more stuff has he got that he's going to release? How much is, you know, this comes to a point where serious damage. And again, I know some of you are going to disagree with me here, but it comes to a point where there's serious damage can be done to, you know, the overall capabilities that the United States has and the advantage we have and you know, all the things that go into your taxpayer dollars being spent to develop this stuff has been, in some instances, maybe wiped out. And we've talked at length already about the other things, but this $52.6 billion black budget, which was attained by the Washington Post, you know, from Edward Snowden, who I at this point, I can't believe he doesn't have two bullets to the head. And again, I know some of you cringe at that. And I'm sure he's probably got some instructions laid out that, hey, if something happens to me, if I go off the grid, you know, you can find the keys to, you know, the lockdown of this data here. And it would be even more incredible. But one thing I have to say is the Washington Post only published, I think they said, 13 pages. Again, I didn't review any of the pages just because of, you know, my prior, you know, military experience and everything else. I just didn't feel that I should do that. And why it's, you know, it is what it is. But they didn't publish 165 of the pages because maybe they even thought a little bit like, holy crap, this stuff is, you know, if the Washington Post isn't going to put only but 13 pages up, think of the absolute incredible amount of details. Now, did he share this data with anyone else? So the next party that may put this online may not be as quote unquote, what's the better word? They may not have the same sensibilities. And especially if it's put up by a foreign government, you know, if someone from another country gets a hold of this, they're not going to care. You know, this is it. They'll make for a major news day for their website. And we'll see where this goes. But I'm sure the Washington Post was probably like, this is even too hot for us. You know, and there was a whole bunch of stuff revealed there. And I only read, you know, into the Washington Post article. I didn't read the actual document, some of their little highlight items. And it's all there for you guys to read. I'm not going to rehash them. But wow, it's just totally incredible. It really is. Now, there's some more detail coming out on how this guy really did this and how he got access. Apparently, and this is according to MSNBC, they're saying that Snowden used sysadmin privileges to assume a user's profile as someone maybe went on vacation or something. So he was basically, there's, you know, what's being reported in the news is that as he would see people go off for a weekend or maybe off for a vacation, he would assume their profile, which then would give him access to another, you know, basically he worked his way up the network. And still, I don't even to this day understand how he could have plugged a USB drive into a computer. You know, that's like basic 101 stuff. Well, I guess if he's sysadmin, he can enable the port. But there's a report out as well. And I don't know where this comes from. But, oh, actually, here it is. A guy by the name of Jason Healy, a former cybersecurity official in the Bush administration, said the Defense Department, NSA, have frittered away years trying to catch up to the security technology and practices used in private industry. Says the DOD and especially NSA are known for awesome cybersecurity, but this seems somewhat misplaced, said Healy, now a cyber expert at the Atlantic Council. They are great at some sophisticated tasks, but oddly bad at many of the simplest. And then the most incredible thing that I have heard talked about this guy is he says, it says every day they're learning how brilliant Yes. Brilliant, Snowden was, said a former U.S. official with knowledge of the case. This is why they don't hire brilliant people for jobs like this. You hire smart people. Brilliant people get you in trouble. And how stupid of a statement is that? You know, you want to, if you're going to hire someone, you want something that's the top of their class, right? If you can afford them. And for them, the guy said, you want someone smart. You don't want someone brilliant. I think you hire people that are above reproach, that, you know, keep their mouth shut. And there's always going to be people that are going to break those agreements and are going to become traitors and spies and everything else that is worthy of a firing squad. But, you know, how far is this going to go with this guy? And, you know, I really would love to hear from you guys, you know. You can pro or against my commentary here, but are you worried or are you enlightened about what's being reviewed? Do you think this is a good thing? You know, where do you guys ride on this, on the line? I'm definitely over the point where, you know, that makes you go, what else has this guy got? Because It's the revelation. It's the disclosure, and it basically, you know, secrets are secrets for a reason. That, you know, they protect the way things are done, and this guy is going to unravel the knots, and then you think the budget, their $52.6 billion budget, was big then. You have no idea how much money they have to spend then to overcome the impact of just one traitor. And I don't know, some of you call this guy a hero, but at this point, I'm like, stop, you know? There's no way. There's just no way. This guy is either, there's going to be one of two things happen, you know? He is going to get rolled up and brought back to America, or he's going to be dead. You know, if I had a betting pool, and I don't want to, you know, this is a horrible thing to say, but if we're still talking about him at Christmas time, and if he's a free man or not face down in a ditch somewhere, I'm going to be shocked. You know, what do you guys think? Yeah, I just don't think the government can allow this guy to continue to put stuff out there, but who knows, maybe it's too late. Maybe he's put enough provisions in place that, you know, it doesn't matter. Who knows? Now, there's a related article over on Wired talking about tech companies and government may soon go to war over surveillance. And this is an interesting headline by them because they start out by saying in their very first sentence, everyone assumes that technology companies, Apple, Facebook, and Google, don't care that their customers are being spied on. And the author of the article on Wired says, I don't believe that's true. So it brings up an interesting point. You know, they're being told and forced to give over information that they've been told to give over by the federal court system. So do you think that companies are going to start making it much, much harder for the government to get access to the government data? You know, I think it might, in the short term, there's just going to be this battle, right? So they're going to put something in place and the government's going to come behind and say, no, you have to leave a door in there. And they're going to say, no, we're not. And then they're going to, you know, the heat's going to be put on them. You know, I could see this is going to go back and forth. And I just don't think that Congress will, you know, they're just too, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. I don't think there's going to be any laws put in place to, open this stuff up. I just don't think it will. So, but anyway, this guy continues to get headlines, and I'm sure to the chagrin of the administration and everyone else that's involved with the data he's been able to capture. So, anyway, just incredible, you know, really, really incredible. And that, you know, that whole black budget thing. I thought the number would be bigger, $52.6 billion. I thought, sounds like a pretty cheap deal. Considering everything else, I guess DOD, what's DOD, $500 billion or something like that, you know? So 52.6, yeah, hey, that's just, it's a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But, you know, on the scheme of things, yeah, it's just $52.6 billion. All right, let's talk a little bit of science here. And boy, what is going on with Geek Shed? I cannot get in there tonight. I don't know what's going on with the chat room. And let's try that. I see what's going on. I know exactly what's going on. How are you on that network, Mr. Computer? Uh-huh. I've been using a Mac here. And that's what normally does my, where I watch the chat room and actually monitor the live stream as well. And it was on a network it shouldn't have been on. And boom, right in I go. There's nothing wrong with the chat room. And let's see who's in the chat room. Let's see if anybody has anything to say. Hey, spitballs. Oh, man. Hi. So I'm in there now. So you can chat back. That was dumb. Oh, man. All right. So let's go ahead and move on here. Hey, NASA. NASA's Curiosity rover is now driving itself. NASA have been piloting the Mars rover Curiosity for over a year now. But yesterday, Curiosity finally took the wheels. The rover switched to its autonomous navigation system and took the first drive into unapproved territory as part of a general shift that will help the rover to cover more ground. So it's pretty cool that they've been able to do that. And moving on up in the world. So it's moving about 10 meters a day, which isn't too bad. All right. There is definitely John McAfee is once again in the news. He has created a wacky YouTube video. And I was going to see if I could find out how many hits. This thing has already gotten 137,000 hits. Or views, but he's got himself another wacky video that starts off, how should I say, pretty rudely. You know, the more I watch this guy's videos, it's just a little odd. and it's bizarre. And he's got this contest going on right now where he wants people to, he's put the raw data up and he wants people to download it and chop it up and do whatever they want with it. So he's trying to get people to join his quote unquote school of badass. But anyway, there's some things that he says in here that just kind of makes my eyebrows raise a little bit because of, you can tell he is, how should I say it? Lived a very, outside the norm life when he was living outside the United States. So anyway, I have a link up in the show notes. That's over on Gizmodo. All right, next thing up. There was a three-hour hearing today, and Prenda attacked his former lawyer. Get this. Brett Gibbs, Who did he go after? One of the guys basically is a jump ship. And So Brett Gibbs basically is one of these lawyers that was a quote unquote a 1099 lawyer. In other words, getting paid as an independent contractor, was in court today. And some of the counsel from Prenda basically beat him up quite a little bit, but he told all and shared, you know, how he worked and who he answered to and what happened during Prenda did their, you know, basically company change and all this stuff. It's pretty interesting. And I think the thing that I found most surprising was that they played a couple of GoDaddy customer service recordings, stuff that had actually been recorded, where the same guy, very obvious if you listen to the voice, the same guy called into GoDaddy gave him his customer account number and used different names each time. And that's definitely not the sign of an individual who is, how should we say it, doing stuff on the up and up. So, boy, oh boy, it's a good read here on the testimony and what was said. There is, you know, this guy's not out of the woods yet. This Gibbs isn't. He's got sanctions against him already, but he's trying to limit the damage. He's saying, hey, I'm not necessarily turning state's evidence, but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to tell you everything I know. But what it boils down to is Gibbs spent about 45 minutes testifying that Paul Hansmeier and John Steele were the true bosses behind the Prenda law scheme. And, of course, we know Prenda was involved with mass copyright lawsuits against Internet users who were accused of downloading porn films. And it turns out that there's even some indication that these guys were planning stuff online as well. But, you know, Judge Wright slam both Hansmeier, Steele, and Gibbs with an $81,000 sanction order, which also was referred to criminal investigators. But Gibbs has basically, he says, hey, this is not my gig. Don't shoot the messenger here. He's still in trouble, but he's trying to limit the amount of damage that has been done to his reputation, his law license, and everything else. I don't think nothing can save him. I think he's probably going to probably lose his law license at some point. But anyway, good read. Hey, Nexus 7, how you guys looking for wanting to buy a new Nexus 7? The LTE model is being reported to have a September debut. So if you've been waiting for an LTE version, indications from Japan and Europe point to a mid-September launch. Which is good. And I know that some people here in Hawaii, some friends of mine, are waiting for an LTE version of this thing to get on the street. I tell you, I love the new Nexus 7. So thin, so light. It's really a nice tablet for the money. Over at the Harvard Gazette, there was a very interesting interview done, and it was talking about the Syrian Electronic Army. And of course, computer networks calling themselves the Syrian Electronic Army earlier this week disrupted both the New York Times and some stuff on Twitter. And also, I guess they targeted Huffington Post as well and some other media outlets. But those cyber attacks involved hijacking the company domain names by altering their numeric addresses within the DNS system. So a lot of people are asking, okay, who is the Syrian Electronic Army? And it appears to be a confederation of computer hackers who support the Syrian government. How much the Syrian state actively supports those folks are unknown, which is a common problem in trying to understand groups of this sort. Infiltrating a DNS system, it takes a little work, but it's something that's not necessarily that hard to do. But they got it done. And they were basically, I think, malware or something like that to work their way through a couple of layers of people at that provider to get access. But long story short here, we will see what happens with the Syrian Electronic Army and their hacking prowess and trying to bring attention to what's going on over there positively or negatively. I don't know which way they lean at this. Well, I guess a pro-Syrian government, so supporting the current administration. And also, you know, I think there's people have a lot of emotions about, we talked about on this show, at least I did to you, talked about the graphic images that were coming out of the, all the kids that had been allegedly, or as the U.S. government says right now, confirmed had a chemical agent used against them, and how it just, to me, it literally broke my heart seeing those kids laying there dead like that. But at the same time, we also, you know, something I forgot to mention in the last show, that, you know, there's 100,000 people have already died in this civil war conflict. But I got an email from a couple of listeners saying, hey, Todd, just remember, you know, the whole Egyptian thing as well was going pretty good. And then the radicals came in. And that's turned into a big mess. So who knows You know, the I'm sure someone has the ground truth. But, you know, we may end up with another group taking over in Syria that it may be just kind of like what happened in Egypt. And I still don't condone the gas being used, but I think this is some of the challenges that the president's having in getting support to go over there and do something. You know, the Brits basically, the British Parliament today basically flipped the United States the bird. So it's a serious issue, but, you know, I can understand countries not wanting to get involved in another war, another conflict. And it, you know, this one has a potential of really sparking a lot of stuff over there. So we will see where this leads. I am sure the president will make a decision and decide what he's going to do. But, you know, chemical weapons are not, you know, traditional weapons are bad enough. You know, let's just, you know, let's be straight up. Bombs and bullets are ugly when employed on people and buildings. And it's no less bad for this this type of chemical agent as well. While it doesn't do anything to the buildings, it definitely has a bigger impact on people. All right, switching gears here completely. The sci-fi film Gravity launched at the Venice Film Festival. The new movie Gravity, a thriller starring Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, is about ready to come out on October 4th. So, of course, October 4th is the anniversary of the 1957 launch of the first satellite Sputnik, but this should be a pretty good movie. I think I'm going to wait for it to come out on pay-per-view before I watch it. I don't think I'm because I think both these folks are going to die. I don't want to be a buzzkill, but that's my prediction. Prediction is that, you know, they're in space. The shuttle got blew up and the ISS got destroyed. So, you know, what are you going to do? It's probably, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some magic of TV, but typically in that type of a situation, you're not going to last very long. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You can check out the trailer if you haven't seen it already. All right, some scientists are making some new predictions. Are we Martians? A chemist's new claim sparks debate. So, you know, there's some speculation that some sort of a meteorite or an asteroid impact hit Mars, blew up debris, and that debris worked its way over to Earth and then planted the seeds of what ultimately became life in humans. Okay. So, do you think we're from Mars? Now, if you're faith-based, you probably won't believe that. If you are science-based, you may say that has potential. But anyway, so I'll have the link up. But this guy's revealing all kinds of you know, scientific data, and he kind of thinks that life arose on Mars and then journeyed on rocks to our planet. Yeah, we definitely weren't little green men coming over. At least we don't think so. All right, Delta Heavy launched a reconnaissance satellite, a Delta 4, basically took off out of Vandenberg Air Force Base in California and on NROL Mission 65. That's and this was probably putting a satellite or some sort in the air. And a lot, no one's saying exactly what it was, a lot of speculation, but it looks like a successful launch there. So that's good. Tor usage has been way, way, way up in August. It's doubled. The Tor network has witnessed 100% rise in number of users connecting to it for the month of August. And it's reached record levels for the first time since the project has been collecting usage statistics. Do you think people got weirded out about, you know, supposedly the government spying? If we go into the country stats, the U.S. witnessed a jump of over 50,000 users from 100,000 to 150,000. UK witnessed nearly 100% jump from 175 to 350. Germany registered a rise to 880,000 from 450,000. India and Brazil registered the steepest rise of 426% and 566% respectively. So that's an interesting development for the Tor network. Hey, those of you who live in Kansas, Google has announced that they'll be offering the $70 symmetrical 1 gig per second fiber to home service in more Kansas locations. According to a Google post, Merriam, Kansas is the latest Kansas market to get the approval for Google Fiber. And basically, Google say we want to hook up Merriam as soon as possible, but we need to plan our network and start construction before we can start installation. Merriam is the 17th city in Kansas City region to sign up for the speedier service, though some larger suburbs, such as Overland Park and Independence, have yet to join the party. Google, hey, we can use you here in Hawaii. We really can. How many of you, and this is completely news to me, I did not know that this existed, but how many of you know about the Mechanical Turk? Well, launched in 2005, Mechanical Turk takes its name from the Turk, an 18th century chess playing machine. The Turk appeared to beat its opponents using a complex clockwork mechanism. In fact, a chess master was hidden inside pulling the strings. So there's always a gimmick. But basically what this is it's a, you can actually contract task. And this is kind of an interesting deal. A typical task pay from a couple of cents to a couple of dollars. Studies suggest that Turkers can earn between $1.20 and $5 an hour for this independent contract work. In its eighth year since its creation, Mechanical Turk has grown into a huge platform and now has over 500,000 workers, of which 50% are from the United States and 40% are from India. And signing up is easy, and you basically are issued tasks. One thing that they were doing was doing business cards. Basically, someone had a scanned business card, and you just basically put the data in a spreadsheet. It just goes on the number of tasks the companies are basically jobbing out. Now, the tasks offered aren't any old tasks. They're called human intelligence tasks, HITs. And there were 247,431 to choose from when this individual did this review. And but there's all kinds of just things that need manual. And I got to thinking about this. I said, my God, this is, I cannot wait to use this, because there are times I have just mundane crap work that needs to be done. And, you know, like come back from CES, we come back with a bag full of business cards. And, you know, oftentimes we will, you know, we scan them and get in and basically have to go through and clean up them in a database. You know, I could put that out there as a job and make it high enough of a pay that we could get them back in a day instead of me spending 3 hours editing business cards that we've scanned into the system. So this is really cool. I'm going to be looking at this a lot deeper, but it's something I never knew about. And again, it's the Turk. And let's see if I can find an actual website address. Is it theturk.com? And there's some stuff that involves reviewing pictures and translating and you name it. But it might be a way to make some money. And very, very cool. So anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes. You can check it out. And if you want to make a couple of pennies basically editing business cards, go ahead, Turk on. Here was a question that was asked Waz. He says, did Steve Jobs know how to code? And Waz replies, Steve didn't ever code. He wasn't an engineer, and he didn't do any original design, but he was a technical enough to alter, change, and add to other designs. He said, I did all the Apple I and Apple II myself, including the feature choices. I did all the basic myself. It's handwritten. It's in handwriting, as I couldn't afford an assembler at the time. The only person who helped me with some of the Apple II code was Alan Baum, who helped with the monitor program. So that's kind of interesting that maybe a little tidbit you did not know about the late Steve Jobs. There's a great article over on Ars Technica talking about how cell tower dumps caught some bank robbers known as the High Country Bandits. Now, these guys were not your smartest Joes. They robbed 16 different banks, all in very remote areas in northern Arizona and Colorado. And they would get a few thousand dollars each time they would hit a bank. And I think their biggest haul was like maybe $4,000 or something like that. These guys all went to rob banks with cell phones in their pockets. And sometimes they made calls on those cell phones around the banks. And several times they called the police on those same cell phones to taunt them. But these idiots used their real names and addresses. And after just a couple of search warrants and some basic filtering on some data sets, the FBI was to come up with some numbers and, of course, you know, basically go get the who they're registered to. So these guys were not real high on the OIQ list here, very obviously. So, you know, you're going to have your cell phone and you're going to have it on. When you go robbing a bank, you know, just really, really incredible. But there was 149,998 telephone numbers that the FBI pulled out of three towers. And all they had to do is just kind of process of elimination and then, you know, nail it down to six or seven. And they got their man or men. Cell tower dumps don't provide the precision of GPS tracking, of course, but they can, in some cases, provide directional and range information from a specific tower at a specific time, close enough to pin people within a few hundred yards. Because warrant applications often remain sealed, however, even judges rarely know how the other judges have ruled on them. So, but anyway, they already get these tower dumps, some additional data, but you're going to go rob a bank, leave your cell phone at home, obviously. NASA's preparing to launch a 600 megabit per second space laser system to replace conventional radio links. This is pretty cool. They're launching the Lunar Laser Communication Demonstration, LLCD, as a testbed that will use laser to send and receive data between Earth and the moon. And this will be the first time that NASA uses lasers instead of conventional S-band radio waves to communicate with spacecraft. Now, are they going to land this thing on the moon? Let me look at this. Don't think so. I think they're just going to put it in geo above the moon. Kind of an interesting move. They got to point this thing, you know. It's got to be pretty, it's got to be a pretty stable point to get it right. But anyway, pretty cool stuff. Using a 600 megabits per second. You know, you compare that to transferring stuff via your cell phone. That's kind of what they're limited to right now with the current S-band transmitters that they have. The USPTO, this is something y'all should review here. The USPTO asked for submissions on basically strategies to plan for intellectual property enforcement. So a number of companies have submitted a response to the known as a request for comments on the, and it's exactly the Joint Strategic Plan for Intellectual Property Enforcement Voluntary Best Practices Study. And this was published on the Federal Register at 70. It was put out on June 20th. So they got feedback from the following companies: Independent Film and Television Association, RIAA, International Anti-Counterfeiting Coalition, Center for Copyright Information, Alliance for Safety Online, Public Knowledge, Center for Democracy and Technologies, MPAA, the Internet Association, Associate of American Publishers, Computer and Communication Industry Association, Electronic Frontier Foundation, Copyright Alliance, Consumer Electronics Association. Now, of those, I'm looking, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 or 6 out of the 14 that are basically not from the, you know, the groups like the MPAA and so forth. And then there was only 6 submissions by individuals. Google did submit a submission as well, as long as pharmacychecker.com and Mark Monitor. So if you're interested in what those companies are saying about voluntary best practices for intellectual property enforcement, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you over at the USPTO site. Well, Amazon's gotten themselves in a little bit of trouble. Online retailer Amazon is altering its pricing policy for the third-party traders amid investigations in the UK and Germany. it will drop a clause that banned traders signed up to its marketplace platform from offering products elsewhere for cheaper. Now, can you imagine? You're going to have something in their marketplace to say, now, if you have a brick and mortar and you listed on Amazon for $17.99, in your store, you can't run a sale and have any less than $17.99. Or if you put it somewhere else digitally, it can't be lower. So obviously that got the attention. And this change will come into force across the EU starting tomorrow. And they felt this was pretty anti-competitive. And I would think so, too. So I wonder what it is in the United States. I wonder what their agreement is. I'd like to see that. But anyway, those retailers will be able to compete in other marketplaces. Oh, Spitballs helped me out on the Turk site, mturk.com. Spitballs, thanks for that, man. Appreciate it. All right. Have you ever got so mad during a customer service call or went to a business? And have you ever just simply lost your mind? You know, I've had a few times where I've got on the edge of having to leave a store because I was so pissed off in a customer service situation. But not as mad as this woman who wrecked a cell phone store. She mooned the staff after a refund dispute. This lady was off the chain. I mean, she went absolutely crazy. And a lot of it was videotaped. And you can tell she's having a moment when she starts ripping down displays, dumping phones, paperwork on the, oh man, she went off. And so that T-Mobile store has gotten a little reverse publicity. But getting a customer so irate that she reveals her butt, moons the staff in displeasure, might rebound on the store more than the owner can imagine. It's never good to be known as a place where people get a bum deal. And when you see this video, oh my goodness, she was mad. She was upset. And you can just see the fire coming out of her ears. It was crazy. All right, this next one. Listen. Put your pens down. Push back the keyboard. Don't pick up your cup of coffee. Listen to this. I got your attention, right? 3, New Jersey judges surprised phone owners everywhere Tuesday with a new message. You don't have to be texting and driving to get in trouble. You may be legally liable for a crash. Now listen to this. You may be legally liable for a crash if you're on the other end of the phone. Holy smokes. Jersey State Appeals Court sided with the argument made by a couple who were badly injured in a 2009 crash with an 18-year-old whose truck drifted across the center line and hit them riding on their motorcycle. They had already settled with the driver, but they also sued his 17-year-old girlfriend who had texted him shortly before the crash. Now, fortunately, on appeal, the court didn't find the girlfriend liable in this particular case because she didn't appear to know her boyfriend was driving at the time. But the jurist accepted the general argument that a texter may bear some legal responsibility if they know the other person is behind the wheel. This ruling is going to open up a whole new front in the war on texting and driving. This is wow. So if you call me and I'm rolling and you know I'm rolling down the highway and I get in a wreck and I injure someone, kill someone, or whatever may happen, and because you knew that I was mobile, they now can come after you in a liable case. Could this turn into a law? It's possible. States everywhere are cracking down. But New Jersey lawmakers have been pretty aggressive in recent years about going after texting while driving. But this is not to say anything about the person sending it. How do you know when you're texting someone if they're driving? You don't. What do? You text them first, say, are you driving? And if they respond yes, you don't text them no more. That doesn't work. If you're talking to someone on the phone and you know they're driving, it's probably advisable at this time to hang up. Say, call me back when you're in a safe place to discuss this. But I spend so much time in my vehicle, I'm hands-free all the time. I've got a great, hands-free built-in car app. It's fantastic. But you can tell I'm in the car. Is this just, wow. They come get you and take your money away because you knew the person was on the phone. Whew. All right, let's switch gears here. Under legal pressure, Facebook clarifies how it uses your data. Facebook wants to be clear. It can use the names, profile pictures, and other data of its members to deliver ads on the site. That's all I have to say. They're going to have a feedback period. But, wow. Of course, this didn't come because they're just being nice. On Monday, U.S. judge approved a U.S. $20 million fund for Facebook to settle a class action lawsuit against the site's sponsored stories advertising program, which pairs some Facebook members' information with commercial content to deliver ads to people on the site. Plaintiffs had claimed that their names and likenesses, such as their profile photos, were being misappropriated to promote advertisers' products and services. Interesting decision here, huh? So watch what you say on Amazon. Excuse me, not what you watch. Watch what you say on Amazon. Watch what you say on Facebook. Now over at Amazon, man, they're in a building spree. If you are in the warehouse business, you got to love these guys. They have spent $13.9 billion in building out warehouses in localities, and they're adding more onto them so that they can be have more stuff in them so they can ship faster and everything else. So this is a pretty big move by the folks at Amazon to stay ahead of the bell curve here. All right, moving on here. So how is your older 2013 Nexus 7? I love mine. But the new one has had some issues. The GPS was finally patched. It's still suffering from a little bit of random rebooting. It's doing some phantom touches. But Google's basically sent out an update, which will fix some of the issues. My GPS issue was fixed on my new Nexus 7 with the update this weekend. It took, 4 days before I finally got in the queue to get mine. Excuse me here. Hey, if you use Foursquare, well, it's just going to get a lot more annoying here, especially if you're an Android user. Starting today, Android users everywhere might start noticing unsolicited pocket buzzes offering tips and hints. Foursquare thinks you care about. You can't turn it off, so delete it. All right, there's a good article over at Geek News Central. The College Humor tells you how to make a fantastic tech commercial. And I have to laugh. This is a pretty good one. Does anyone know the company that they're promoting at the end of the episode? I don't. They're talking about, something should have a good, you should be able to have a brand with no text, and that's all you would need to promote a brand in a tech commercial. Anyway, I'll let you guys check it out. Definitely satire, but it is kind of funny how they put it together. I have it up there for you to take a view and to comment on. Hey, Xbox One is going to be bringing a higher quality voice chat through dedicated hardware and the power of Skype. So that's not a surprise here. Your victory chance while you're playing games can be considered substandard today. But they're fixing that with this new headset and everything else for the Xbox One. All right, we'll skip that article. Curiosity just took the sharpest photos of a solar eclipse on Mars yet. That's kind of a cool picture. You can tell that the object that it imaged was definitely not very round. So I don't know if this was a moon, or I guess it was a moon of Mars, Phobos. So it looks more like a oblong rock than a moon. But anyway, you guys can check it out. Nice little photo by Curiosity. All right, Parallels Desktop 9 for Mac launches with cloud storage support for Windows 8, a start button, and 40% faster read time. So if you are a Parallels version 9 user, you can existing Parallel users can get their hands on Parallels Desktop 9 for Mac. Again, this is the latest version of the virtualization software that lets Mac users run Windows applications natively with new features such as cloud storage optimization for iCloud, Dropbox, Google Drive, and SkyDrive. And I use Parallels, but not version 9, so I'm going to have to definitely check that out as well. Over on The Verge, Dig has released an Android app with the Dig Reader integration, so be aware of that if you're still a Dig fan and you want to check out what's going on in Dig during the day when you're out and about and mobile. Go ahead and grab that app offline, and this is pretty big. And, of course, they're also doing some stuff to try to compete with the demise of Google Reader. All right, let me just change this up here. Hey, don't forget the hotline is 619-342-7365. The email address here is geeknews@gmail.com as well. Microsoft's $100 Surface Pro price cut is going to be around. Accessory discounts are as well. They're thinking there's going to be some reduction in prices. So just be aware of that. I had bought the better keyboard here recently, I think for $99. Looks like it's going to go down to $79. But anyway, that link will be up in the show notes. Hey, Microsoft, speaking of Foursquare, Microsoft rumored to purchase a stake in Foursquare. So this is an interesting development here. And Google, maybe Microsoft is thinking they got to get in the game because everything else is being bought up by other companies. Microsoft is also detailing how they guard against malware on Windows Phone. According to an early report that we talked about, the U.S. government has found in a study of their own about 80% of malware targets the Android operating system, 0.7 for iOS and 0.3 for Windows Mobile. And but Microsoft is basically saying, for starters, they state that Windows Phone stores the exclusive distribution platform Windows Phone apps, mean that quality is insured, not to mention that since it's being distributed by Microsoft, there are certain insurances one can take from it. I think that's what Android would think too, but I guess they've had a better way of policing it. Ever wondered if someone used your PC while you're out or if you're in the office and you put the screen down, you come back and things just didn't look right? Well, I've got some tips here on how you can see if someone's touched your computer without putting spyware on it. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. How many of you are using Peel? It's a TV control app. Peel grows to 25 million users, prep 3 new mobile partnerships along the way as well. So I think you have to use an Android phone with Peel. I don't think it'll work with iOS at this time. I might be wrong. But anyway, if you're an Android user, pick up Peel. And that's going to wrap me up for tonight. That's all I'm going to have for content. I had a bunch more stuff that I had started off with before, you know, I was kind of doing the show prep. But everything else to me just kind of like, yeah, it's so-so content. So I skipped it. It's better to be fast with good stuff or, you know, done sooner with good stuff than drag the show out with junk. I'm waiting for Thunderbird to load. And let me go to GNC comments. And the last show was on the 26th. So let's see here. There was a couple that had come in. Where's the one from Bree? Oh, hers come in late. Got an email from Ba-boom. Oh, I already talked about him. So I got an email from Bree. And she basically says that the Syrian, she linked me to an article. It basically from Gov Executive Today at defenseone.com. Basically says the Syrian resistance has become increasingly radicalized. In a video statement released on August 22nd, 5 frontline commanders from the opposition-backed Supreme Military Council announced they were banning the group and choosing instead to work with any group willing to fight Assad. They tendered their resignations while sitting in front of a black flag of a Jabhat al-Nusra, a key opposition group with growing ties to al-Qaeda in Iraq, and pleading that they rejected U.S. demands not to work with jihadists. So this should give all of us warm and fuzzies that what's going on over there is not for a better word, going to turn into another Egypt. It just sounds like we're going that way with that civil war that's going on there. So Bree, thanks for that. Got an email here from Jeff. He says, "Hey Todd, Nintendo 2DS Blue." So let me load this link up and see if I can take a peek at this thing. Nintendo 2DS drops a Dimension price coming October 12th for $129. So that's kind of cool. So if you've been looking for NDS, or 2DS, excuse me, 2DS, this will be available cheaper October 12th for $129. Or maybe it's just coming on the market. I'm not very sure. I'm very familiar with that particular list. And also, Bree sent me another link, and let me bring this up. She says, "This is great," from Washington Post, Worldviews. A well-known Egyptian blogger writes on the pseudonym of the Big Pharaoh, put together this chart laying the region's rivalries and alliances. So there I go again, destroying the English language. So as you can see, that everyone has got the connections to everyone, and it's this is kind of funny if you look at this thing. Look at the lines and how they're interconnected. You can see the problem that's going on over there. But anyway, actually didn't bring that up. That was dumb. So let me see. Can I blow this up? Yeah, a little bit. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Again, today's show brought to you in part by my good friends at GoDaddy.com. Get your 32% off on your new order by using the promo codes that we have over at Geek News Central at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, we want to encourage you to become an insider. We've had more insiders signing up in the past week. Two thumbs up. It's really awesome when you guys come in and support the show. It starts out at 6.7 cents a day, you know, less than half the cost of a latte to support the show each month with a $2 PayPal donation. And of course, those of you that feel that the show is worth a little more, $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, and $25. We've had a couple of $10 ones come in. Those are great. Those go a long way and really kind of starting to, you know, make an impact as we move forward, as we get more people that are coming in as insiders. So you can find the insider program at geeknewscentral.com/insider. And link is in the second column of the website as well if you want to look it up. I am getting punchy. You know, this late of a start, I'm normally done with the show about 30 minutes ago. So I'm starting to get a little bit punchy at 9:40 in the evening. Apologize if I made a bunch of mistakes tonight. We'll try to get back in the groove with a much better time here in the near future. But thanks for being here. And all of the Ohana, hey, love you guys. Thanks for staying subscribed to the show and being part of the family. Thank you for providing feedback and input to me. I definitely appreciate it. And I see spitballs. And actually, we had someone else jump in the chat room. Thanks, guys, for jumping in and being with me tonight. But until next time, everyone take care. We'll see you on the next go-around. Aloha.